Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Black Seinfeld, the show about absolutely nothing. Thank you for that lovely intro, Mr. Johnson. But next time when you announce us, it is Black Seinfeld, the show about nothing. It is like it's like a Tribe Called Quest. You got to say the whole thing, all right? Yeah. A pimp named Slickback, a Tribe Called Quest, yeah. Black Seinfeld, the show about nothing, sir.
It's not that important.
Yes, it is.
It's not that important. Yeah. I don't think
yes,
so.
Yes, it is.
Okay, let's start.
Such a hate. Well, I go by the name of Psyche.
I go by Bastionissa.
And we just want to thank y'all for tuning in once again. If you can, please like us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff at Black Seinfeld NY.
Yep, Black Seinfeld NY. You can email us at Black Seinfeld NY at gmail.com.
I'm congested right now, man. I feel terrible.
Yeah, it's a sick season right now. Everybody's getting sick.
And the thing is, like, I always pride myself on not getting sick during this time.
That's why you're on the other side of the table.
Yeah.
There's a big distance between. It's 2 arm lengths.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just kicking it right here all the way at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways.
Today's Wednesday, February 14th.
Yeah, it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah. It's a corporate holiday created by the corporations after a terrible January, which is like every year. So in order to ramp up more money, they created a holiday so they can make a little bit of money, especially in the chocolate industry, like Nestle and Hershey's.
This is what single people say.
No. Yeah, well.
I'm just messing with you, man.
That's what people that want to overspend on nonsense holidays like
I'm not going to celebrate the white man's holiday. I love you every day.
No, exactly. You know, I'm going to pay for a gift when I have the money to. Don't force me because it's a holiday. That's why I don't really give presents on Christmas, or I probably bought the Christmas present a month before. So that's where I look at it.
All right, fine.
You know, delay the gift exchanging. I buy it when I have the money.
Okay. And today we have a special guest. We have tattoo artist extraordinaire Miss Kiana Ned. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on, guys?
Thanks for coming here so early.
Yeah, 5 a.m.
That was a challenge getting up this morning.
No, you got here at 4 a.m.
Yeah, you got here before me.
Yeah, I know.
That's weird. That's never happened to me before.
I can't be late, bro. I can't.
Yeah,
I know I was going to get here that quick, though.
I didn't know you'd get here that quick, too, because I'm on the lift, and I'm about to pull up. Then you hit me up like, oh, I'm here. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, I came so quick. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, interesting. I actually came from a lift, too, because train delays early in the morning. Shout out to the MTA again.
You know what's funny? There was a story about the MTA yesterday talking about delays, and they're like, we understand how, why customers are upset with delays, but we're just as upset about delays as they are.
Liars.
So they do lie about delays sometimes. Sometimes there is train traffic ahead of them because they can see the backlights of the train. And then sometimes they just lie because they don't know what's going on.
They lied the other day. I was 40 minutes late to work, right? I was supposed to be there 30 minutes early because I scheduled. That's how I am. I scheduled 2 hours. So it gave me some distance. 40 minutes late to work. And they were lying. By the time I was at 71st Continental, they were saying, like, oh, there's a sick passenger on Roosevelt. By the time we get the Roosevelt train, there's a train signal delay. So we don't know what's going on. It's like, why you got to lie to us the first time?
You ain't got a lot to kick it.
How about the power outages?
Yeah, the power outages. It's just ridiculous. Like, MTA, shout out to you.
That's crazy.
How do you feel about $3 Metro card coming
soon?
That's
crazy.
That's not true.
My Uber's be $3.
God damn, Michael.
Try to sneak up on us. Made them. He broke
it. Whoa, you broke the
chair.
The chair. No, I'm not shutting up. What?
Shout out to intern Mike breaking the chair. Matt Loud trying to sneak up on us. It's a great morning.
This is a great morning.
That's a fact.
So anyways, Kiana, how many years have you been tattooing now?
I've been tattooing 4 years now. It's turned 4 years in December.
Yeah, all right.
This December turned 4 years.
What got you interested in?
It's a long story how I got into this, but
we've got an hour.
I was always like an artist, you know. I was always that kid in the class that knew how to draw, you know. Like, oh, I want you in my project because you could draw. But it was my ex girlfriend that really got me into it, though. Like my friends, they always encouraged me, like, yo, you should tat. That would be cool. But I never really thought about the idea because I was just like too scared. It was just like, you know, this is not just paper and pen or paper and pencil where you could just erase or fix what you want to fix. Like, this is permanent. You dealing with people's skin, it's going to be on them forever. So I was just like, I don't know. I procrastinated on the subject for a long time. And then, like, I started, like, thinking about it when I was, like, 18, around that Christmas time. I bought myself a starter kit. And I would just, like, in the house, just, like, practicing on myself, practicing on my family members because they begged me, friends. But I never really wanted to, like, start on, like, skin. I wanted to get, like, a mentorship first. But they begged me so much, I was just, like, fine, whatever.
So before that, what type of artwork were you mostly drawing?
Mostly cartoon characters and stuff like that I would be drawing.
Okay.
I like to draw faces. Most times I was already drawing tattoo ideas for people. So came in like, why not just do the tat for them, you know?
Gotcha.
Who's your cartoon character of choice? Who's your favorite cartoon character just to draw?
I used to love drawing Powerpuff Girls. Especially as a kid, I used to love drawing Powerpuff Girls, yo.
So you make your own show? You make your own Powerpuff Girl?
You know how they had the episode with the boys?
Oh yeah, the Rowdy Rough Boys.
I would draw them. I draw my own scene, you know, them shooting out the sky and stuff. It was just a thing when I was in school. We used to just draw stuff like that. I used to draw like Dragon Ball Z characters. That was fun too. Or just pictures in general. I would just like draw like even Disney princesses. Like whatever book I had, like any cartoon book, I would just look at it and just draw it. So it's like whatever I had, I'll just draw it for fun.
That's dope.
Yeah. People wouldn't believe me, though. They'd be like, you drew this? No. No, you didn't draw this.
Why wouldn't people believe you?
I don't know. I would show it to them, and they would just be like, nah, you ain't draw this. I'm like, what? What you mean I ain't draw it?
You got early haters.
Then I had to show them, like, look, it's like it's the same, but it's a little off. Like, you know, like certain stuff is a little off. That's how you know I drew it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I have one question about tattooing, especially with, it being a permanent thing.
Yeah.
So have you ever like messed up on someone?
Yeah. When I first started, I got trash work, bro. I ain't gonna hold you. I got some trash work from when I first started. You know, this is all a process. You come from somewhere. You got to start somewhere. You know
True.
What I'm saying? And I'm just happy to say to people that I do have to work on, they're more of a like, it's okay, you know? It's your process. Like, I still, you know, it's all good. Like, I knew what I was getting myself into type
right.
thing. They knew I was learning when they was getting attacked, so.
True.
It's like they can't be 100% mad at me. But I do awful cover-ups and stuff like that, but it's mostly my family. They're just like, nah, it's your progress. I like to see that you did this first, and then you came from somewhere, and now you progressed, you know?
Have you ever messed up a spelling?
Oh, yes, I have. I could tell you a story about that too.
What spelling did you mess up, Kiana?
Oh man, let me tell you, it wasn't even all the way my fault. I'm gonna keep it 100 with you. All right, so it was this back tattoo, like a quote.
Okay.
And the girl who wanted it, she was just like, I don't think she really knew the whole quote. It was like a Bible verse or something like that. So it was like, to whom, I think it began with, or to who, something like that. It was either whom or who. When she told me the quote, I was like, you know what? You should Google this because, you know, you never know if you're spelling it wrong or saying it wrong. So she Googled it and she was actually saying it wrong. So I was like, thank God we Googled it, you know what I'm saying? So I typed it up or whatever. And I gave her the paper because usually I tell people like, yo, read this before we start. So I gave her the paper. She's just like, oh, yeah, this is good. But I seen that she wasn't really like. Like looking at every word to see what's spelled properly. She was just reading it through. So I took the paper from her, I gave it to her again. I was like, nah, just like, you know, check it, see, check the spelling.
Triple check.
Yeah, just check the spelling. She's like, nah, it's good. I'm like, all right, cool. So I start stenciling and I do her back tat. First of all, she didn't even know the tat was spelled wrong. She went home and her mom told her, she was just like, yo, that's spelled wrong.
Embarrassing.
And her mom was like, and she was just like, what? And then she came to me now trying to blame me for it. And I'm just like, yo, like, come on. I told you check. I did my part as an artist. I told you check the spelling.
I told you double check. I told you triple check.
Facts.
How big was the art?
It was just a spawn quote.
Okay.
On her back.
Okay.
I told her, like, just cover it. But after the fact, I was just like, yo, I don't even want to cover it no more. Like, I don't even want to deal with you anymore since this is all my fault now. So I was just like, nah.
Well, guys, if we've learned anything here today, if you get a tattoo that has any sort of literature or just words in general, please triple check it over.
Yes,
not even triple check. Like, understand the quote.
True.
Like, yeah, you should know it.
Point. If you don't know it, I feel like you shouldn't get it tatted anyway. You know, some people get stuff because they think it looked nice. Don't even know, like, what quote, where that quote came from, what it mean. It's just, that's crazy.
That's a good philosophy to have.
But now I learned my lesson. I don't even type nothing no more. I say, here, go ahead. Type it yourself.
Oh, wow.
That's, all right. So, is there any other sort of customer pet peeves that you have?
I can't really be mad at customers because, like, I just got to understand that certain people aren't really, like, educated in the tattoo world. But, yeah, they'll ask me stuff like, oh, do you work in a shop? Or, like, or, like, stuff like that. Or, like, how much do you charge? For what? Like, for what? What are you asking for?
Yeah, it'd be very specific, like, size, yes, and everything.
Yeah, definitely. But at least give me some kind of, like, something. It's just, like, that's how they start the conversation. How much you charge? Like, for what? What are you trying to get?
So, like, you charge them by, like, size or placement, how difficult?
Placement, detail, color or no color. Yeah. Mm. Like, a rib tattoo would cost way more than a tattoo on the arm because the ribs, you got to control the breathing with the client and to get your lines crisp. And then also that skin, like if the stencil is about this big, when they stretch the skin, it's about twice the size.
How big? Like 8 inches?
So if it's like this big.
This is great for radio too, guys. Just saying.
If it's like a hand size, it'll be like two hands.
Okay.
You know? Depending on their skin, it could be a hand and a half. Because, everybody's skin, some skin is stretchier than others. But, yeah.
Interesting.
Definitely. But now I'm just trying to start charging hourly because I'm tired of just having to, like, give a price for a piece all the time.
So no more flat rates.
No more flat rates. Just hourly, $125 an hour.
It's a business plan. You're trying to make as much money as you can.
Yeah. But sometimes, like, honestly, I kind of already charge, like, even when I do flat rates, I already charge hourly, basically. Like, I'll count the images or how many pieces it is, and I'll just say, like, oh, well, this probably take me 4 hours, you know? Because after a while, just tattooing, you get an estimate of how long it take you to do certain things. So I would just be like, oh, this would take, like, 4 hours. And when I do tell myself, it take me about 4 hours, and it'll either add up to the hourly or be a little less.
Do you practice beforehand, or you just go straight?
What you mean, practice?
Okay, so let's say I gave you a picture that I drew myself.
Okay.
And I want you to draw it.
I kind of do everything on the spot. Okay. I don't like to talk too much over, like, DM and, like, just social media. I don't like to talk too much because it's just, like, I might misinterpret your idea. So I'd rather when you come, just book the appointment. When you come in, we just, I give myself more than enough time for whatever piece it is. So we could sit, talk, and then now we have our ideas are both on the same page. So, you know, I'm not, like, misinterpreting what you're saying or your idea. So we together on it.
Do you ever sketch for other people? Like, if they have no idea, say, I don't know, I just want something.
Just, yeah, make me something.
Yeah, I like to do, I'll sketch if they ask me to, but most times I like to do, like, photorealism. So I'll just, like, use a realistic photo of whatever it is. Like, this girl, she wanted to do boxing gloves.
Okay.
So I will use a photo of actual boxing gloves, and then I will copy the shading in the picture, and then I would get it to look, like, extremely realistic. And that's what I like doing, stuff like that, because it comes out, like, more realistic looking. But if they do want me to draw, yeah, I'll draw.
Have you taken any previous, like, art classes?
The thing is, I never really had, like, an art class. Like, I kind of just, like, was just, like, doing things just for the fun of it. I never really had an art class to teach me, like, oh, well, you shade here or you shade there, or, you know. I kind of was just, like, figuring out as I went. And, like, as I got into tattoos and painting, it made me, like, know where the shade, where your dark shades go, where your light shades go, and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. So you do your own research, basically.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
That's
like,
awesome.
When I first started, like, seeing a picture, especially of, like, a portrait, you see how, like, they have, like, the dark areas, the medium areas, and the light areas. I wouldn't know. I never knew where. Like, I would look at something like that, like, years ago, and be like, I don't know where to shade, you know? I don't know where to start. Now it's like, is barely any contrast in the picture, and I know. Like, okay, well, this goes here, that goes there, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah, it gets easier as you, like, keep doing it.
Okay. Well, Kiana, you always keep traveling. I always do see this a lot.
Yeah, I do.
Recently, you were in Philly.
Yeah, Philly was dope.
Tell the people about Philly.
Wait,
Philly
before cool. or after?
Literally last weekend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Philly was crazy. I went out there with my team for tattoo convention. Philly is crazy. It really looks crazy out there, though. Like slums type thing. But it was cool. It was definitely cool. People out there was dope. Definitely real nice people. And stuff like the Philly cheesesteak. If you go to Philly, please get a Philly cheesesteak.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Is it worth it?
Go to Gino's. Gino's is cool. I don't know. I never tried Gino's. I heard that's the spot, but we went to Max's. I've never seen Heroes so big in my life. They ask you, do you want a hole? And a hole is basically like two Heroes put together.
What?
Exactly. And it's a hole. Like, it's not separated. They chop it up at the end. Ed and a half is like a regular Hero.
That's to share. That's a family meal.
Yeah, right? That, yeah. Facts. Cut it in four. Everybody got a piece.
I want to get a cheesesteak now.
It was so good. It was so good.
So, how many tattoos did you do out in Philly?
I did like four. I did this owl piece. I did what else did I do? This owl piece. I don't remember the other pieces, but I did like three or four tats. I wasn't too pressed to tat out there. It was my first convention. I never been to a convention. It's crazy out there. So much like motivation, inspiration around you. Like everybody is dope. Like I met people from like Ink Masters. I met like people from Black Ink Crew.
Nice.
Dope. Like dope.
So
everybody's work is dope. Sitting there freehanding tattoos. Because it's like at a convention, you know. Printers and stuff probably be there, but you got to pay for that kind of stuff to get the stencils and stuff like that. So to sit there and freehand and stuff like that, that's dope. Those are the real artists to me.
How is the design, like the convention wise? Like,
it's like a big room, like a big room, and it's just like curtain set up, and it's like aisles, and everyone has like a section, and your booth has a number, and that's how people locate you.
How big was your booth?
It was like not that big. It's really not that big. The booth itself is not that big. And it's like if you do want more space, you just got to buy another booth.
Oof.
Yeah, it's like $500 a booth. It depends on the convention. But yeah, when you go out there, there's money out there, you end up making your money back.
Oh, that's good.
But it was more of an experience to me. Me just rather like looking at other artists. You get to look at other artists' tattoos. So that's like school without the school, you know what
right.
I'm saying? So it was cool. I learned a lot of new stuff. I met a lot of new people. Definitely cool.
You said you had a team.
The dudes I work with at the shop in Brooklyn I'm at right now. Yeah, Spider and Bucks. Bucks is the apprentice, and Spider's another artist that he hired me recently over there. And I've been just working with him. He's pretty cool, dude. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm. So, how did you feel when you got hired to be a tattoo artist?
I've been in a bunch of different shops, but the first shop I was in was in Harlem. And it was cool to get in my first shop. I was actually like really excited. It was like the best thing that ever happened to me. It was cool. But you know, you get in the tattoo industry and you just learn. You learn do's and don'ts, and you just know what to do and stuff like that. And the first shop I was in, I was like, yeah, this is lit. But Harlem is cool. Like, I like Harlem. It's real, like, people out there is nice. They real friendly. But it was cool in Harlem. And then after Harlem, I went to West 4th. I started tattooing in West 4th. That was cool, too. It was an experience. But it's hard to build clientele out there because everybody's tourists.
Oh, in the city, right?
Yeah.
I figured.
Most people, yeah.
So it's easier in, like, local shops?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Because especially, like, it depends on what shop you're in, too. Because the shop I was in before the shop I'm in now, I had my own clientele already, so it was really no building the clientele, kind of. Like, I had my own people coming through to get tatted already, so it was like that. But the shop I'm in now, people come and they just chill, you know, it's a vibe. They come, they chill, they don't even have to get tatted, they just come and check niggas, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Cool. I had a question. So you never went through the process of, like, from what I know, it's like giving out flyers in order to bring people in?
You know, Instagram is like real big nowadays, so it's like you could promote on that. I've been, I gave out business cards and stuff like that, but by the time I really got like my own business cards where I have my own logo on it and stuff like that, I didn't really need it no more. It's just like It's just so when people ask, oh, you got a card here?
Perfect.
But I do, like, leave it on the train sometimes. And, like, you could use it for promotion, you know, like, write on the card, like, 25% off. Put it around the place and just act, tell people, like, yo, if you find it, you get 25% off your tat, you know, stuff like that. I would do with the cards. But now it's, like, I have a clientele already, so the cards is just to give to my clients afterwards, like, here, you know, go hand that out if somebody asks you where you got your tat at or whatever. You know, you could just give them the card instead of, like, explaining everything.
What's the most favorite tat that you've done so far?
I got a few of them. I actually really like doing, like, Egyptian pieces, like Nefertiti's and stuff like that. I got a few Nefertiti's that I like, yeah.
Okay. So, I know you from college, and I remember last semester, I was like, yo, where Kiana at? She goes, yeah, she ain't coming back. What made you go, you know what? I'm not going to come back to school. I'm going to go and pursue this. How was that
process? That's actually a really good question, because, like, that was a really, like, hard time. You know what I'm saying?
That's a bold move.
Yeah, it really was. But at that time, I was living with my aunt, so I had more. Like, my mom, she's, like, she's cool. She understands me more now, probably, of a person. So it's like, all right, you can do your own thing. But before, it was just, like, she was super overprotective, you know? So, like, not going to school, that was not a thing. You know, that's not a thing in that household. Like, even in my other family's house, like, you have to go to school. So it's just like, how am I going to do this, you know? Like, I'm going to get kicked out if I don't go to school, types of stuff I was thinking. So I was just like, honestly, who really pushed me to stop going to school? My ex, she was just like, yo, just do your thing. Like, you could do it. Like, you don't need school. Like, you couldn't do it. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to do it. At that time, I was working a retail job at Walgreens. And I was doing that job, and I was doing tattoos on the side. Then I got fired from that job. And then I started doing tattoos full-time in the house. And the first 3 days I was doing tats in the house, I made, like, a band and change. Just doing tats in the house, you know what I'm saying? So I was just like, this is cool.
What were you studying in school?
Communications.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's how I met her.
Yeah.
Communications technology.
It was a cool major. I wish I finished, but, you know, I felt like school was just taking me away from my craft. I feel like if I would have stayed in school, I wouldn't be nice as in tattoos as I am now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it takes too much time of the day.
Yeah.
Studying, classes.
Shouts out to York, though.
Kind of. You know, I can't. Yeah, sure. Shout out to York.
What do you mean, sure? I mean, he had its fun times.
He has, you know, it's a cool environment.
Yeah.
A bit grimy sometime.
School classes were trash, but, you know, other than that, except for CT. CT was cool.
Yeah. Shout out to the cool professors. A lot of helpful professors over there.
Yeah. That major was cool. That major was definitely cool.
And think about it. If it wasn't for York, you know, we probably wouldn't be doing radio.
Yeah. But it's us that did things at York to do the radio. York didn't offer us.
You know, true. You know, all right. Good, good point. I try to defend you guys. I'm sorry. So, what are some stigmas with black women in the tattoo industry?
What you mean, like?
Well, I know for one that I've only know of, like, black ink. That's it.
I know what you mean. Like, black ink, they get a lot of they get their stuff up there because they got that TV show and stuff like that, you know? People think, like, oh, yeah, they on TV. They got to be nice, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if I was anybody else didn't know much, I would think the same thing, you know what I mean? But, yeah, black ink is definitely, like, known, you know, regardless of what they portray on, like, on the internet or, like, or just on like, TV in general. They actually have some really dope artists. Like, I know a lot of people, they don't really fuck with it because they think, like, they trash, but they got some dope artists. It's people that work for that company, but they just not on the show. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, they're nice. But Black Ink is definitely known. Definitely. They got a real big impact on the tattoo world and stuff like that. I met some of the dudes from Black Ink Chicago. They're pretty cool, too.
But do you feel, as a black woman, is it harder to get to be more successful in the tattoo industry?
Hell yeah. Just being a female, period, is just like, you just get, like, people just, You know, they just look at you like you don't really know what you're doing, you know. I've had some clients say, like, I would never get tattooed by a female, you know. The girls don't know how to tat, but it's cool. Like, they see the work and then they change their mind, so.
It's a very misogynistic way of thinking. That's weird.
I've heard that. Some people do not trust females to tat them. And the crazy part is, it be the females that's, like, super light-handed and the females that, like, pay attention way more to detail and stuff like that, you know? But, yeah, it's definitely hard. And then you get taken advantage of because you're a female.
How?
And because people think they could just... So, like, they just think they could do what they want, you know? They don't respect you as much if you was a male, you know? Because they just feel like, oh, you ain't going to do nothing. You know what I'm saying? But I don't got to do nothing. You feel me? Like, I know people.
seems like you're thinking about a time where this happened.
I mean, it's been, you know, it's like, it's just like, I'm not necessarily in competition. I'm in competition with myself. That's how I make myself better, you know. I critique my work and say, oh, well, this could be better, that could be better, you know what I'm saying? I'm not in competition with nobody else, but I feel like it's grown men in the industry that's in competition with me, you know. They see me as a threat because they feel like my work is dope. They hate. It's all good, though. It's all love at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, hey, I mean, if you're getting some haters, you're doing something right.
Exactly. that's a fact.
That's the they that that Khaled keeps talking about. You know how Khaled talks about, you know, they don't want you to win, and you actually see this for yourself?
Yeah,
it's wild.
It's crazy.
Bash, definitely. You got any questions?
I was going to ask you about your team. When you started an apprenticeship, was it different locations?
Like, yeah. I've been around, bro. I've been in Manhattan. I've been over Brooklyn, all types of places. But I met this dude named Pico. He's cool. Cool dude. He basically taught me like a lot, and like when it came to tattooing, he taught me how to, like, you know, what needles you use for this. He taught me how to, like, you know, better my drawings. He was a great, like, addition to my progress, you know. But like, even with what he was teaching me, it was way more that I had to learn. So like, when I left him, it was no more like, because when I was working with him, it was more of like, oh, Kilo, you got to do this, you got to do that, or you got to do this, you know. So when I left him, it was nobody over my shoulder no more, like, yo, do this, do that, or watch me while I tat and tell me like, oh, well, you're doing that wrong, or something, like stopping me before I make a mistake, you know.
Gotcha.
It was no more of that. So I had to really like ask questions, and you know, like, it's hard to really like learn a lot in the tattoo industry, because most people who, especially who got years on their belt, they learn for themselves. Like they learn, like, it was no YouTube, you feel me? Like, they learned from, like, scratch. They messed people up, and they learned from it, you know what I'm saying? So they not willing to really teach nobody, because they feel like, if I had to go through that to get here, you need to go through that to get here, too. And I respect it, but I've been around really dope people who let me in and stuff like that, and I've, like, learned. Every shop I've been in, I've learned something new, you know?
I was thinking, because I thought, being a tattoo artist, you need to go through like the old school way of learning, like the apprenticeship. You have to find a mentor.
It's hard to get an apprenticeship, I'm gonna tell you that much. I was lucky to get an apprenticeship, and I appreciate the dude who helped me too, because it's hard. I feel like even though I was a female, probably was a little easier for me, but like for dudes, some people go to like 20, 60 shops and no apprenticeship. Nobody wants to teach them, you know? But it's all a process. Like, it don't stop there, you know? If you stop there, then you probably won't make nothing of it. But if you keep going, I noticed one dude, he told me he went to, like, 20 shops. No apprenticeship. He had to learn for himself. He got, like, what, like, 10-plus years now, and he's nice. The first shop he's been in is his own shop. You know, he got a good team. He's open to teaching people, and they all got their own shops now. You know what I'm saying? Like, he not just trying out here eating off of people, because a lot of shops, especially, like, is how a shop work is 50-50. So you do a tat, you give 50% to whoever owns the spot. So he's, like, out here teaching you how to make money. You know what I'm saying? He not just taking money from you. Like, he's teaching you how to make money, too.
Teaching you how to become your own business person.
Yeah, feed your own. You know what I'm saying? And I respect that 100%.
Okay.
All right, man. This is Song of the Week. This is your pick, because I forgot. First off, hold up. How are you going to send me Song of the Week, and then you got to look it up? You're terrible. Hold up. You're the worst.
It's winter in America. I already knew what it was. I just wanted to make sure I sent you the right file.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Winter in America by Gil Scott Heron. We're going to continue the Black History theme and just, you know, righteous.
From the Indians, welcome the pilgrims, and to the buffaloes who once ruled the plain. Like the vultures circling beneath the dark clouds, looking for the rain, looking for the rain. Just like the cities that stagger on the coastline, and a nation that just can't stand much more. Like the forest buried beneath the highway, never had a chance to grow, never had a chance to grow. And now it's winter, winter in America. Yes, and all of the hills have been killed, sent away. Yeah, but the people know it's winter. Winter in America, and ain't nobody fighting, 'cause nobody knows what to say. Save your soul, Lord knows, from winter in America. The Constitution, a noble piece of paper, with free society, the struggle, but they died in vain. And now democracy is a ragtime on the corner, hoping for some rain. They look like either hoping for some rain. And I see the robins perched in barren treetops, watching last-ditch races marching across the floor. But just like the peace sign that vanished in our dreams, never had a chance to grow, never had a chance to grow. And now it's winter, winter in America, and all of the hillers have been killed or betrayed. Yeah, but the people know it's winter. Lord knows it's winter in America. Nobody knows what to say. Save your soul from winter in America. Stick. We'll be right back.
it's a winter. Winter in America. And all of the healers done been killed. Sent away. Yeah, the people know. The people know it's winter. Winter in America. And ain't nobody fighting, 'cause nobody knows what to say. And ain't nobody fighting, 'cause nobody knows, nobody knows.
And that was, what was that, Bastion?
Winter in America by Gil Scott-Heron. It was song. Either that song or Whitey on the Moon.
It was keep fitting. It real.
It was fitting.
Keep it real, though. Welcome back to Black Seinfeld, but keep it real. Yeah. What was the first song you wanted to play?
Oh, yeah. Because we didn't really have time to talk about new music. I wanted to play some MGMT.
Which... I get it. This is a Brooklyn show. This is a New York show. They're a New York duo. But I told, nah, bro, not this one.
I kind of forgot, because we don't really listen to our shows after we do it. So I kind of forgot point. The vibe and the theme. But now I know the theme for like 2 weeks from now. I got another song in my mind. But yeah, welcome back to Black Seinfeld Show about Absolutely Nothing. You
Spin
can follow
that.
Us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Black Seinfeld NY.
Spin that intellectual ignorance. And we are back here with our special guest, the wonderful Miss Kiana Ned, tattoo artist.
What's going on?
Everything is well. So, before the break, you were talking about apprenticeship. Why is it so hard to find an apprentice in the tattoo world?
I think it's just like people just don't really want to teach you. Like, I think it's more of like, oh, if I teach you, you could be better than me, you know? I think it's like that. And then also, it's just like, I've got to this point all by myself, you know? I feel like you need to do that yourself, too. I think it's like that.
Huh. You know, that's interesting, because it sounds like tattooing industry and the whole radio industry is sort of similar, because I remember for me trying to get on was the fact that not many people wanted to help. There's only like a select few people that are willing to help us. And the reason why is because there's a lot of big egos. And yeah, it's just the fact that, you know, some people are threatened by the younger generation.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
But what are some of your like hopes and dreams and aspirations of your tattoo career?
I want to own a shop. Yeah, that's the dream. Long term goal, though. But I want to own like an all-female tattoo shop. Because I feel like females don't get much recognition in the tattoo world. And I just want to, like, show people that we nice. We get it done.
You want to stay in the city?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. I was thinking Atlanta. But I don't know. I like Atlanta a lot. It's cool out there.
At least it's not cold over there.
Exactly.
It's traffic over there.
It do get kind of cold, but, like, not as cold as here. I can't take the cold. I can't. But I was thinking about, like, opening my first shop in Atlanta. I feel like it would be probably easier out there, and then bringing it to New York. But I don't know.
So you've been down there many times?
A couple times. I really like it, though. And I got clients out there too. Like, people show support, you know. They real, like, they support black businesses out there, you know what I'm saying?
Hold up, weren't you there like 2 weeks ago?
Well, Atlanta? Yeah, right before I went to Philly, yeah. I'm
telling you, she's always on the move. Like, I remember
one day. I stay in New York too long.
One day, I was looking through her IGs like, oh, hey, y'all, I'm in LA. Wait, what?
I can't stay in New York too long.
That's good. You're traveling.
Yeah, LA is dope too. But it's like New York. It's kind of like New York. But LA is definitely dope. Like, that's where I want to live. That's like my dream. Like, I want to live in LA.
So there's different shops in different areas. Do they have the similar vibe, or every shop in like Atlanta or LA, New York, are they different?
It's different. Like, LA is so different from Atlanta. New York is just so different. I feel like in New York is like real grimy, you know. Everybody just trying to get to the top, but they ain't really trying to help you. They just trying to get it for themselves, you know. And in Atlanta, they got people where it's like they supporting you, you know. Like, they, like, if you they men's, you don't even have to be they men's. If you lit, they supporting you, you know what I'm saying? And LA is more like, LA is like land of the fakes.
Really?
I keep hearing this.
Yeah.
This is a thing.
Yep. People out there crazy. It's like you'll run into a lot of opportunists in LA. Everybody just, if you got something going on for yourself, it's like, oh, I'm going to latch on to you because you could probably take me somewhere. You know what I'm saying? It's like that. They not really trying to talk to you unless you got money. You know what I'm saying?
So everybody's
real
like
bougie out there.
Gotcha. they're all talk.
Yeah, definitely. All talk and all show.
I mean, think about it. Everyone over there is trying to be famous anyways.
Exactly. A lot of people go there to make their dreams happen anyway. So that's really what it is, like, most times, what you're really dealing with.
So do you find spots in these different states that you travel to tattoo, or like is it just houses?
It's most times it'd be like friends, family, you know. I stay in Atlanta. I stay with my cousin most times. But yeah, at the convention I went to in Philly recently, I met this dude named Quick, and Quick is cool. He got a shop in Atlanta. That's the dude I was telling you about, 10 years experience. First shop is his own shop.
Gotcha.
He told me, like, yo, come. Like, if you in Atlanta, you could guest spot here whenever you want. And I was just like, all right, cool. So now I got somewhere to tat. But I was tatting in the crib. People was coming to the crib. And I got a whole set of bed, everything. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it was comfortable.
So safety and being very, very clean.
Yes.
In the tattoo
definitely
industry. How crazy is that?
You have to be clean. Like, you just have to. You have to be clean. Your hands have to be washed. You cannot be touching your phone and tattooing. Like, you can't do stuff like that, you know. People catch stuff like that. You can even catch stuff like that. Like, you can't be tattooing, because it's just like it's so easy to cross-contaminate things. You tattooing, you got the blood on your hands, you touching your phone, you touching everything. Like, that's why everything needs to be wiped down at the end of the day, you know. Yeah. And you got to be careful, because you could accidentally stick yourself with that needle, you know what I'm saying? So you got to be real careful. It's like, it's not a game.
Is it difficult educating the people, like, after you finish the tattoo, don't put this in sunlight?
Oh, boy. Especially if it's their first tattoo, they don't listen. You could tell them put a little, because I used to, as aftercare, I tell people to use Aquaphor. I like Aquaphor better because I feel like it don't clog the pores as much as A&D, and I feel like A&D kind of fades the tattoo. It takes the ink, more of the ink out, rather than like healing it into the skin. So I tell people use Aquaphor, just enough to moisturize the tattoo. They gonna go take the whole jaw and slap it on their arm. Come all greased up. I'm like, yo, what's going on? The tattoo fading. I'm like, what's going on? Now you need a touch up. But now I've been using Saniderm, which is like this aftercare. You leave it on for 6 days. You put it on after the tattoo process is over. You put it on for, like, they leave it on for 6 days. It's waterproof, so they don't have to deal with the tattoo. And by the time they take it off, it's already practically healed. So they don't have to, there's no way they could really mess it up after that.
Is there a sunlight thing?
Yes, definitely. Sure. Sun definitely does fade your tattoos. That's why it's cool to, like, use sunscreen. Yeah, in the summertime. Yeah, sun definitely fades your tattoos. Over the time, yeah. If you ever seen people tattoos, it'll be like black when they first get in, and start fading like green. It look a little green tint. Yeah, right. You got to use sunscreen.
So when would you say is the best time to get a tattoo, season-wise?
Winter. It's mostly covered up. You don't got to worry about the sun hitting it. It heals perfectly fine, you know what I'm saying? And some people, most smart people, get it done in the wintertime. Other people, they get it done in the summertime because, you know, they want to show it off and stuff like that. But if you really get a tat fresh and you go out in the sun, you don't want to be in the sun with that tattoo. It burns. It burns. It does not feel... The sun on, like, a fresh tat, that does not feel good. And you can mess it up that way. Going to the beach, being in, like, salt water, or like going in pools, you can mess it up like that.
That's what turns it green.
It will mess up the tat. Like, it will fade it. It probably won't even heal properly. Yeah,
I seen a couple people
fade it.
That happened. That's why I was asking you the question. It's like, oh, what happened? So a bit green on the edges and stuff.
Yeah, like it will mess it up. Can't be in no pool. That's why I tell you, don't go in the pool for like 2 weeks. But yeah, definitely, you know, it's definitely better in the wintertime. like full, that kind of time, because it's like you, it's covered. You don't got to worry about getting in no pool or having to get in the pool or the beach or, you know, messing it up. So
now, does heel time vary with different sizes of the tattoo, or is it, or is it the same?
I feel like if you have just straight line work, it'll heal pretty fast. The shading, I feel like, takes a little longer to heal, but it also depends on the person, you know, or if they got color or not, because some color has to, like, really, like, you have to really saturate that color in, so it does way more work to the skin than actual black and gray. So you could really, like, beat somebody's skin up with that. It'll heal, but it'll probably take longer to heal. But yeah, color definitely, I feel like, takes longer to heal.
So are tattoo virgins, like, the worst to do tattoos?
Nah, they not that bad.
They're not?
Nah, some of them, they not that bad. I feel like they be worse with pissings sometimes, but nah, they not that bad. I kind of, like, most of the times, like, if I notice they first tattoo, I will talk to them the whole time. So they won't really even think about it. And the machine I use, it don't really have no sound to it. So it's like, they don't got to worry about that sound, like. Sometimes I'll be doing it like, started already? Yeah. Yeah, I started already.
So you've never dealt with, like, any jumpers or?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. But I let them know, like, yo, you gotta stay still or else you're going to have a messed up tat.
Toughen out.
Yeah.
I'm like a futurist. So the future of tattoos and the new technology is coming out, because I've seen articles about, like, a sound wave tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, 3D printing and gold tattoos. What's your thoughts on that?
Gold tattoos? I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah.
Actual gold tattoos? Because I know they don't really have, like, I don't know about now, but, like, from what I know, they didn't have no gold ink. So it's like,
maybe it's not gold.
They will use, like, yellow. Yellow. To represent the gold most times.
Maybe it's not, like, they inking gold in, but I think it's, like, Maybe it's like one of those kids type thing where you just put it on your skin. Maybe it's not
that's like a gold color, not actual gold.
I don't know. I wasn't too sure what the golden tattoo was.
Yeah, what are you reading?
No, it's just like a lot of things that they're trying to build into the future, because they're always trying to add something new.
I'm sure they're probably gonna come out with some gold ink. I wouldn't be surprised about that. But it's like with the tattoos, it's like all that stuff you're using has chemicals in it already. The ink has chemicals. So, like, what during the process, I try to use, like, the least amount of chemicals as possible. You know, all that stuff, the ointment, all that got chemicals in it. So I'll try to use the least amount. If I'm using green soap, I try to dilute it, like, a lot with water, or just use straight water, you know. The less chemicals, the better.
What about 3D printing?
3D printing?
Yeah.
What you mean by that?
So I guess they'll use, yeah.
We remember we had that back in the classroom.
They actually had, like, at the convention, they sell, it's not only tattoos, like, they sell other stuff too. And they had, like, a booth with 3D printing. And it was dope. They had a Buddha Biggie.
Really?
Yes. It was crazy. Dope. Like, I was like, wow. It was so much different stuff you could buy there.
Oh, to put in your shops?
Yeah, like, you know, little, like, stuff you could just leave on a shelf, like, just to decorate it and stuff like that.
Interesting.
What's going on with 3D printing and tattoos? Bashing? Yeah, no, I want to know this.
That's what I was checking out a while ago, because I'm not into tattoos, but I like gold and stuff. I'm into jewelry.
Okay.
But, you know, every now and then I look into tattoos, and I do see that you can put your arm on the machine and it will kind of do the design for you, you know?
Ooh.
What?
That's pretty
crazy.
Cool.
Of course, it will take much longer, and you have to put everything in the computer, and it could mess up easily, but I wasn't sure how they could get the ink in it, you know?
You know what? That probably makes sense. They probably got 3D printed for a stencil.
Yeah.
But you would still have to tattoo it.
Okay.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I've never seen it before, so that's what I'm thinking, though. Probably just for the stencil. But if they was to actually have, like, that for, like, a tattoo, that's crazy. I heard about stuff like that, though, like, for a tattoo. It won't be no need for me no more.
Yeah, so let's not hope for this.
No, I'm not hoping. I'm just saying this is, like, the
industry.
Yeah, the future. Technology always has their hand in everything you do. So I wanted
Good
to
point.
Know the technology. Like, I know they have new machines,
but
always.
But I'm pretty sure it's always going to be tattoo artists around, because it's, like, it's more like I could communicate with you. It'd probably be a challenge for people to really communicate with, like, a computer or whatever. But it's like I could always communicate with you. I could really, like, give my own artistic expression. I could really freestyle on you. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's me, and with my own ideas, my own thoughts. Like, you know, a computer, they, like, it's gonna be probably set stuff and stuff like that. But I could really, like, you know, draw something that you want, like something, a vision that you had in your head, and just make it come to life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
seems pretty intimate too. Tattooing seems pretty intimate.
It's a lot. Like people be thinking like, yo, I'm gonna be a tattoo artist and stuff like that. Like it, for the money most times, but that is hard. Like it's not easy. Like you gotta deal with like, what if somebody don't like your work? You know what I'm saying? Like you gotta deal with so much. You gotta deal with like certain clients giving you a hard time. It's a lot. You low key like a therapist / counselor, because you gotta like tell people, well, I don't think you should get a hand tattoo, or I don't think you should get a face tattoo, or do you know what you're doing with your life that you want a face tattoo? Or
you got a little Wayne money for a face tattoo?
Okay, yeah, so exactly. You're really with it. It's like, oh, well, you sure you want a face tattoo?
I mean, if you already got face tats, I'll tat your face. But okay, if you don't got no face tats, you don't got no tats, you want your first tat to be your face tat, I'd be like, whoa, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you sure you want to do that? Like, I probably won't even do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I don't know about that. Like,
a bit risky.
It's good that you're rational about this stuff.
You gotta be, because people regret things.
That is true.
Like, are you sure, like, you're a rapper now? Are you good now? Or do you need a retail job
exactly,
first?
Exactly.
To fund your rapper
maybe
career.
Maybe you need to, like, just think about this before I tattoo this thing on your face.
Forever.
And then you can't get a job, probably. Except for, like, Hot Topic or something.
And that laser stuff hurts worse than the
tattoo. Yeah, gonna bring that up. Speaking of forever, removal.
Removal is definitely there, but it's like I heard it hurts way more.
So you
and
guys don't do it.
Super expensive, nah. But there's some tattoo artists that do it. That's money.
Yeah,
that's money right
it's
there.
Another clientele, people that people messed wanna... up.
Are you gonna get into tattoo removals?
I don't know. I don't think I got time for that. Maybe like if I had the time, yeah. There's a lot of stuff I want to get into.
Like what?
I want to model. I want to do mad different stuff.
It's fashion week.
Yeah. You feel me? But I'm just like, I'm busy with this tat stuff. It's bringing the money in, and I'm good. Like, I like it a lot, you know?
Okay.
You said fashion week? There's lot of fashion week stuff because I work. Anyways, I work in the meatpacking district.
Oh, you punk. You suck.
Anyways, and there's the Standard Hotel right there, and there's a lot of celebrities over there and a lot of models. So that street, a lot of people, just cameras, standing in the middle of the street taking pictures. So that area right there. There's a lot of those for some reason. I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I want to get into it, but I'm just taking my time.
Yeah, master your tattoo and craft first before you dabble into something else.
Right, so, that's how I feel.
So let people know how to contact you.
Yeah.
On the Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Shout your stuff out.
Yeah, y'all can hit me up. Definitely hit me up on Instagram at KILOINC_KiloInc. And my Facebook is Keananedd, KEANNANEDD.
Okay, and tell the people what not to do when they try to hit you up for a tattoo.
Don't ask me how much I charge.
Alright, cool.
That's it.
That's fair enough. Well, Kiana, we just want to thank you for coming in today.
Definitely.
I know it's very early for you.
Yeah, I'm about to go home and sleep.
Hey.
Go back home and sleep.
We're probably going to sleep in the studio too.
Yeah. Long day for us.
Yep. Well, guys, thank you guys for tuning in to Black Seinfeld, show about absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
We're going to see you guys again next week. We got tickets to Black Panther. We're going to talk about that in like 2 weeks to give y'all a chance to see it before we spoil everything. So, yeah, don't forget, Black Seinfeld, every Wednesday, 5 in the morning, 99.5 FM. Dang, I'm mumbling. I'm tired. Peace.
Peace.
Scott here, an unknown bluesologist.